Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Folks, we've got a fan favorite back with us and one of my favorites too, Jim Self. He's back with us and we're going to delve deeper into the information in his book, A Course in Mastering Alchemy, Tools to Shift, Transform, and Ascend. And he co-wrote this book with Roxanne Burnett. So if you listen to the first show that aired on February 12th of 2018, this is going to be like the next step. And if you haven't listened, go back and listen. Definitely go and listen to that and listen to this so that you can help yourself, because this is a man who truly wants to help people. He doesn't give you high-level fluff, okay? He gives you true, deep information that's going to assist you in making your life better. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses some pragmatic and intuitive insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back, but the real question is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, as you know, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. Excuse me. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. Now, I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, visit my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living. And again, that's on my website, MoniqueChapman.com. Now, I am so grateful to bring back Jim Self, who's an international teacher, speaker, and author who has been leading seminars on personal energy management and the tools for mastering alchemy for almost 30 years. He is one of the few spiritual teachers to keep pace with the ongoing shift in human consciousness, constantly co-creating the Mastering Alchemy program with the Teachers of Light. Now, you can check him out at the website, masteringalchemy.com. And as I said, he co-authored A Course in Mastering Alchemy, Tools to Shift, Transform, and Ascend with Roxanne Burnett. Now, Roxanne, who is not with us, but she's definitely with him, she is the co-founder and manager of Mastering Alchemy. And she has, of course, co-authored with Jim on this book and other books, including Spiritual Matters. Now, she's a former corporate art director, and she has been offering tools for developing intuition and personal power to individuals, businesses, and professional women's groups since 1994. So we've got a lot of information to share with you, a lot of grounded background information, and we're going to get into it right now. Welcome back, Jim.
Monique, delightful to be here with you.
Hey, I always love to have you. And as I said in the first show, I'm going to say it again. Absolutely love the book, A Course in Mastering Alchemy, Tools to Shift, Transform, and Ascend. People, if you know anything about Louis Bostick, who passed away many years ago, now I don't know how many, some of the information in Jim's book is kind of predicated around Louis's work, but he has taken it to a whole new level. And I have to tell you, folks, and this I can truly attest to because I use these techniques daily, they work. Okay, there's no woo-woo, there's no guessing, or there's no maybe. If you do the work, you will have a result. Now, again, you know, bottom line is you got to do the work. So, Jim, how did you, you know, give us an overview for the people who didn't catch the first show on, was it February 18th of 2018? I'm sorry, February 12th of 2018. Tell us, give us an overview of who you are and how you got to this place before we delve deeper.
Well, you know, everybody comes into the body with these skill sets available to them, clairvoyance, clairsentience, telepathies, all of those skills that people call psychic abilities or spiritual uh-huh. abilities. And what happens to most is as you begin to become aware of the world around you, the mom, dad, teacher, minister begin to have a better idea than you do sometimes. And so many times they love you and they create you in their image. Uh-huh. We go to these schools, we don't go to those, we talk to these people, we don't talk to those, we eat this food, we don't eat that food. And in the process of that, a lot of times we begin to give up our seniority in a positive way, because we've come here to play this game of life as we understand it. And we stop using those abilities. And then additionally, the mom, dad, teacher, minister says a whole lot of no and don't and stop making up those stories, etc. Mm-hmm. And so that little kid basically just steps away from it, never turns it off because it's always on, but steps away from it. In my reality, I didn't step away from it. And it caused me lots of challenges growing up, because I would see things and know things and hear things. And in school, I would just write the answer down to the math question without doing the work. So that created a lot of challenges often. Mm-hmm. But as I've gone through my life in lots of different ways, all of my life is, like everybody's, is an experience to take you to this moment where you are. Mm-hmm. And in my life, it was corporate world, it was politics, it was building companies, it was traveling, it was really understanding these abilities that we call psychic abilities. And all of that has kind of really brought me to this place. And in that context, growing up, I always had this voice in my head. And that voice became really indicative of what I call that internal guidance system of choosing appropriate versus inappropriate. Not right or wrong or good or bad, but more internally, this isn't an appropriate action to take towards others. Mm-hmm. And that voice took on different aspects. Ultimately, it turns out it's all these different ascended masters and lords of light and archangelics. And in that context, I found I was always a healer, but it was always about making life appropriate for people in their own appropriateness, not mine for them. Mm-hmm. And in about 2000, 2001, those conversations turned into a little different direction, where one of these beings named Metatron, one of the great archangelics, basically said there's a path that has never been walked before by humanity. And in this path, it will allow you and individuals to simply grow into their ascension. They'll elevate the earth back to its fully 12th dimensional Christed state of being. And it will allow the doorway to be held open for humanity to step into a higher dimensional consciousness. Would you like to play?
Well, you don't. What an invitation.
Yeah, and you don't really say to Metatron, well, I'll get back to you. So out of that, the course work of Mastering Alchemy came about, and it's done with conversations that we've recorded between the archangelics and myself, using a channel named Joan Walker, a person that really wasn't a visible channel to the world, but a woman uh-huh. with really great skills. And so she became the voice of the conversations. And those all have turned into coursework and have kind of now moved through a number of years of the evolution of this transition.
Okay. Now, you talked about Ascended Masters and the angelic realm. Are there any particular Ascended Masters that you have worked with? And maybe for those who don't know, you might define what an Ascended Master is.
Sure. So there is this aspect of consciousness that we are generally unaware of when we play this game of third dimension, you know, trying to fit in and live the life that we all understand.
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to get much more quiet, you begin to have this awareness of this, we'll call it a higher consciousness. And in that, there is many aspects of consciousness that have, we'll call them personalities for the moment. So
okay.
Ascended Masters, Archangelics, Lords of Light. There are infinite numbers of these beings. And in the context of mastering alchemy, it was purposeful. And so those that were involved in elevating this consciousness for this particular purpose were the ones that showed up. Kuthumi, Ascended Master Kuthumi, El Moria, Saint Germain, those names were particularly the ones that showed up on that level. But it was predominantly driven by the Archangelics and the Lords of Light, Metatron, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Zachael, and there were about 15 of them that really crafted this entire direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you a question. So since you've worked with, you know, these Ascended Masters, if someone was to, like, go online and just, you know, download something that was not yours about, say, Kuthumi, would he or they receive the same information?
No, not necessarily. See,
okay.
It really is a function of if you ask a question, you get an answer. Or
okay.
If you are holding a focus on an intention, the answer to the intention or the concept begins to be presented. But in my reality, they don't offer a lot of help or a lot of extraneous information. And it's really focused. If this is where we're working, this is what we talk about. There's only been one or two occasions over 10, 12, 15 years where a suggestion to look here was offered. So it's
mm-hmm.
very focused on where you are and what you are all about and what you're in agreement with them and the creation.
Okay. Okay, cool. Now, you've recently produced a webinar. In fact, it was actually a few days ago on September 13th, and it's absolutely free. Folks, if you go to the website masteringalchemy.com, you will see it, and you can download it or you can listen to it. And it was titled, Resistance or Creation, Where is Your Attention? Now, here in the United States and in other countries in the world, everything seems to be in upheaval. There is so much energy going on that may be in alignment with who you feel you are, or it could be completely discordant. Without giving the webinar away, what is resistance? And then what are you considering creation so that we can figure out where our attention goes?
Well, in the context of that webinar, it was really about how do you drive your life? Are you
mm-hmm.
a creator with passion and you just go for it? Or do you hedge? Do you worry about if I open this door, am I going to have a problem on the other side of the door? Or do you just simply open the door and go for life in a manner that is and aligned with your passion? And when I start to watch people create, they hedge their creations. It's really, well, what if this happens to me? Or will this? It's as if I need the final answer before I open the door to step into my creation.
Mm.
And quite often, when you start to step that down and step it back a little bit, what you're really doing is people aren't creating, they're avoiding. They'll say, I would like to do this, but how often do you do what you say you would like to do? And then do you do it in a timetable that really allows you to enjoy your creation? And so we become very distracted by the noise. And in today's world, the noise is very predominant. Mm-hmm. And it's purposeful, this noise. We are moving from one state of consciousness to another. We're moving from a world that is structured in greed and competition and imposition and slavery and domination and mine is better than yours, competition side of it. All of that is not how the heart lives. And mm-hmm. so moving from that third dimension into a state of well-being is what we're doing, one where there's words like respect and dignity, integrity, purpose, kindness, co-creation. I mean, if you said to a person here, live in this third dimensional world where there's you against them all day long, or one where there's respect and appreciation and laughter, how would you choose? The challenge is, and everybody would choose, oh, I want well-being. Mm-hmm. But the challenge is we walk around with this sense of doubt and self-judgment and uncertainty, and please tell me what's on the other side of the door before I step into it so I don't hurt myself or get afraid or find out I'm in a bad place. So this question mm-hmm. of how do you create? Do you create from your resistance and doubt and hedge your bets, or do you basically begin to look at how you move towards an intention? And when you back that down a little bit, and this is where it becomes really important in the creative process, is we have a tremendous distortion in how we believe creation works, how we believe we run our life on one concept. And this will sound odd to people at the beginning of this run out, but in third dimension, in our walking around life, there is a concept that people don't ever even question, and it's called time. And time, if you say to an average person, 100 people, is there anything other than time as you know it, past, present, future, and then you die? 100 people will say, well, that's the truth. That's all there is. That's what mm-hmm. time is. Mm-hmm. But when you begin to get into present time, now one little sliver in the middle of that run out, past, present, future, present time is the only place you exist. But what we do is we basically say, well, this happened to me once upon a time, and I hope it doesn't happen to me ever again. So we begin to carve out our future based on what did or did not happen in our past, or what we do or don't want to happen based on our past. Mm-hmm. But when you begin to get into present time, when you start to realize in present, there's five different configurations of present time. So it's not even just one. So when you begin to get into present time, right here, right now, and you start to decide, what would I like to create? How would I like to live? You can't create it in the future, but you can definitely plan it for your future. And then from that place, I want to go to Hawaii in March, and I want to have this wonderful vacation. You basically say, okay, great. Now, what can I do right now to basically make the moment that I step on the plane in March to go to Hawaii successful? Mm-hmm. But what most of us do is we put that hope, that wish, that wanting out into the future. And then quite often we don't even remember that it was something we wanted. You know, if you think about it, you say, yeah, I'm going to do this. You turn your head, you go back, and you don't remember you just said you were going to do that. But many times you say, this is what I want to do. But it isn't structured in a way to where it begins to be a creation. Mm-hmm. And the only place creation happens is right now. How do I do this right now? What do I want to do right now? I can call the hotel right now. I can make the airline reservation right now. I can rent the car right now. And it's all available when you get there. But to a great extent, we have a tendency to say, well, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll just wait. And that process of how we create in resistance is really how our whole life has been created, based in this element of time. This, I hope this thing doesn't happen to me again. So we move through life a lot of times in fear or doubt or uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into present time and you begin to structure yourself in intention, and we can talk about that in a moment, the ability to have anything you want is very, very available to you without a lot of work. But it's a shift in how you focus and how you hold the vibration of your sense of yourself, your success, your clarity, your certainty, your ability to choose to create rather than hoping something will happen.
Okay. Folks, we're speaking with Jim Self. He's the co-author of A Course in Mastering Alchemy, Tools to Shift, Transform, and Ascend. The book is available on his website, and that's masteringalchemy.com. You can get it on Amazon, anywhere that books are sold. Just if you don't see it in your bookstore, go in and ask for it. It's well worth the small investment that you're going to make. Now, Jim, you talked about expressing intention. So to me, basically what we've talked about so far is vibration and changing or shifting the vibration based on utilizing perhaps words and thoughts, emotions,
oh, absolutely,
and feelings. Okay,
absolutely.
Could you tell us more?
So when you think about how do you feel when you walk around in your day, how does the body feel? How do you hold your thoughts? Are you in excitement? Are you in doubt or fear or uncertainty? All of those vibrations are constantly moving through you, through me, based on many other people having the same kind of thoughts. So let's start with one point to begin to create a structure here.
Okay.
I ask the question of people, do you know where you start and stop? Now, that's not quite a correct question because you don't start and stop anywhere. But in this context, when you stand in a group of people, you have lots of emotions and lots of feelings and thoughts that are coming through. Most of those thoughts that you think and most of the feelings that you feel and most of the beliefs that you hold are not yours. They're just other thoughts randomly moving through you. And that doesn't make any sense to people because people say, well, it's my thoughts. It could only be me thinking in my head.
Uh-huh.
But if you begin to be aware of that energy field we call an aura, every living thing has this energetic field. And if you were to begin to make a decision, draw a line, or create a point at the edge of the aura, and let me define the aura. If you stick your arm and you stick it straight out in front of you and you turn the palm of your hand towards yourself, that's approximately where your aura begins and ends. And mm-hmm. if you were to draw a circle all the way around you, over and below you, that roughly is your energetic field. But if you were to basically create a point of delineation, you make a decision that right here is the edge of my aura, and my energy is on this side from the point at the edge of the aura to the heart is me, and everything on the other side is Shakespeare's theater to entertain me.
Uh-huh.
If you can hold that point in your awareness, everything about your life begins to shift. Because you begin to discern who you are versus being the effect of the emotions of people. Have you ever been in around a group of people and you're happy and they're all grumpy and angry and they're upset with the boss, etc., and pretty soon you're in a terrible mood?
Right.
It's all that energy. So the point of delineation and in the simpleness of the tools, if you create a rose and you put the rose, an image of a rose, a mental image picture, just to simply have a definition of start and stop.
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to do that, all of a sudden you realize an awful lot of things that you think and things you hold a lot of attention on have nothing to do with you at all. But from there, it gets to a point where you ask the question, how would I like to experience myself? And you know about vibrations of emotions and what emotions and feelings feel like. So if I said to you, angry, resentful, jealous, happy, enthusiastic, laughter, and you were to put each of those in different hands, which one would feel heavier and which one would feel lighter? Mm-hmm. And if you had a choice, which one would you choose? And people say, well, I'd rather be happy and laughter and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you notice vibrations like happy and joyful versus angry and resentful, they feel very different in the body.
Yes.
And so one of the pieces is, why don't we choose how we would like to feel, and why don't we hold that feeling in the body? Now, if I say to somebody, I say, do you know what certainty is? And people will say, oh, sure, I know what certainty is. That's pretty much a rational mind, mental thought that says, yes, I know. But if I said, close your eyes, take a breath, kind of sit back and feel certain, that's a very different thing than think certain.
Uh-huh.
And once you begin to recognize that these vibrations, these words, sound tones, these vibrations, when held in the body, allow you to interact with the world around you very differently based on the vibration or the words you're choosing. And so in that sense of vibration, you begin to do something very specific. You begin to bring yourself into present time. Here I am. I'm certain. I'm capable. I have a sense of myself. I'm happy. I'm in present time. I'm not worrying about the past. I'm not hoping for the future. I find myself right here. And that present time awareness begins to be the key to absolutely everything in the creation of your desires and your intentions.
Okay, so once we embrace the present time awareness, you're saying that not that life would be easier, but we're just more concretely with our energy and controlling our vibration?
Well, the word would be choice. You all of a sudden have choice rather than reaction. You begin to have the capacity to, here I am, how would I like to experience myself? It doesn't make it necessarily easy, but it mm-hmm. makes it to a place where you can discern between an action or a circumstance that you're in. And that ability to discern and choose becomes very different than reacting to something that is going on around you. And then when you don't even know whether it's your energy you're in or whether you're in everybody else's frustration, it gets to be a place where you have more capacity to choose a reality than simply be accepting what's on your doorstep in the morning when you wake up.
Okay, so when you're in the energy of the present time awareness, you get to choose rather than react, and in turn, you're shifting your state of consciousness, your vibration, your personal vibration.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And when, say, you know, you're in that scenario that you talked about earlier where you got all these negative people around you, and, you know, you're trying to be positive and uplifting, at what point, or is there a point that you can start to send out energy or affect others where they, if they choose, would be open to shifting their perspective, shifting their consciousness to something a bit more positive? Or is it personal work that they have to do on their own?
Well, not necessarily their own. It's always about you as an individual. But one of the things that happens when you can begin to hold your space, this defined mm-hmm. energy of the aura space, and you can begin to hold vibrations like certain, capable, seniority, this is who I am, you have a sense of yourself, you begin to observe the world around you, the theater, and you begin to choose how you wish to interact. But what happens is when you can basically decide, I'm going to hold well-being, I'm going to hold a sense of happy, and mm-hmm. I'm going to, big word, allow everybody else to be miserable and angry, if that's where they choose.
Okay.
Allowing is simply, I can be empathetic that you're in pain. I can be aware that you're uncomfortable. But if you're not really asking for help, and this is your state of being, and you seem to be repetitive in that, what's very clear is I cannot fix anybody else. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times this is a place where healers have a lot of challenge because they believe they can fix other people. Mm-hmm. In real terms to your question, you cannot fix anybody, but you can alter their reality. And altering their reality in this case just simply means by you standing in well-being and standing in certainty and kindness and graciousness and simply hold that vibration. One of the truths, and I use that word very sparingly in my reality, truth,
mm-hmm.
but there's no real truth in so many ways, but when you are in a state of well-being, one of the truths I watch is lesser vibrations will seek out higher states of well-being. And so people don't like to be miserable. And if they have an opportunity to step into well-being, they will take it many times. Many other times they will not. They'll simply argue with for their limitations. But when you're around people and you're happy and you're simply kind and you own yourself, you're not fixing people, the nature of the room and the nature of people around you begins to elevate into a happier state of being.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's a conscious awareness to basically maintain certain, capable, happy, and recognize that you're not fixing other people, but you can provide them with the opportunity to raise their consciousness or their vibration.
Okay, so you're basically still controlling, if you will, your energy, and you're allowing people to be who they are when there's no judgment on it.
Yeah, managing yourself.
Okay, great. Boy, you do so much. It's like, where do I go next? So talked about... Go ahead.
Well, here, let me see if we can set this into a place that might help make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
See, over time, over eons and eons of time, in what's called the fall of consciousness, which is a gigantic, wonderful story, but basically in that period of time, everything degenerated into a very narrow state of being. And to a great extent, we're coming out of that narrow state of being. But in the process of understanding how to be safe and how to fit in, the rational mind, because that's its job, is to keep you safe and have you fit in. Uh-huh. Everybody wants to be liked. They want to be accepted. They want to engage with people, and they don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to make a fool of themselves, etc. So the rational mind is very conscious of having you be safe in fitting in. And think about it. We use that frame of reference. Are they going to like me? Am I going to be acceptable? We constantly are in that, in either a conscious or a semi-conscious state when we engage with people.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we're really, really familiar with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But in that process over time, the rational mind had to make a lot of decisions in terms of how do I determine safe and how do I determine whether these people are going to like me or not. And we use the word interchangeably emotions and feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And let me define this in a simple way. There's more to it. But emotions are the rational mind's creation to understand its relationship to others. And to a great extent, its emotions have edges to them. You think about words like jealous, resentful, dislike. There's an edge to those type of words.
Mm-hmm.
Versus appreciation, gratitude, kindness. There's no edge to those.
No, it's like floating on a cloud.
Very much so. So mm-hmm. vibrations of emotion are very much part of the rational mind's discernment of safety and fitting in. But feelings are of the heart. And there is a thinking aspect within the heart that, to a great extent, in that fall of consciousness, the rational mind wanted to keep you safe, keep you fit in, make sure nothing bad happened. And so there was always this defensiveness or on edge or protectiveness or concern or suspicion in a consciousness. Rational mind. It many times overrode the heart. And so when you start to get into that space of well-being, appreciation, gratitude, kindness, just allowing, there's no edges on that. And the heart thinks very different than the rational mind thinks. So one of the pieces in all the work that Mastering Alchemy is about is if we can begin to define that rose, that this is my space, that's mm-hmm. the theater, this is me, become grounded, start to observe from the center of your head, you find you begin to automatically be in present time. In that space, if you can begin to have a sense of these words, certain, capable, gracious, kind, fill out your range of words, but understanding that there is a distinction between the rational mind's emotions and the heart's feelings. Mm-hmm. The ability to begin to choose how you wish to engage with the world takes on a very different configuration.
Okay. But some people feel, though, that if you think from the heart or you utilize the heart energy, that you end up getting taken advantage of because people see you as an easy mark.
Sure.
Speak to that.
Sure. So let's say, though, there's a word like certainty. If you just kind of feel certain, you feel capable. I'll define this a little bit more in a second. But mm-hmm. when you hold those vibrations in your space, they have a structure to them. It's like, here I am. Whereas words like appreciation and gratitude and kindness, there's not a lot of structure to them. So one of the things we have a lack of information about is when we begin to define consciousness and we use words like masculine and feminine, mm-hmm. we automatically go to a male body or female body. And then when you start to get a little bit more aware in you might say the whole issue of men are from Mars and women are from Venus. It's the psychology of masculine and feminine. But when you start to play in consciousness, masculine and feminine is very much about the fundamentals of creation. And very much the yin and the yang of creation, completely in balance. And here's how you define it. Masculine, in this case, has straight lines and angles. Feminine has no straight lines and angles. There's just swirls and curves and uh-huh. motion and free flow. So when you begin to start to use that definition of straight lines and angles and curves and swirls, if you're standing in if you're using words like focus, precise, certain, capable, seniority, there's a lot of structure to those vibrations. Whereas kindness, respect, dignity doesn't have the same lines attached to them. Mm-hmm. So as a person begins to be more conscious in present time, as you begin to define your alignment of vibration, both the masculine and the feminine are part of that. So being taken advantage of is very much a state of being with no structure. It's very kind, it's very open, it's very given, and people take advantage of it because there's no definition, there's no place to say thank you, but no, we're not going to do it that way, with uh-huh. a certainty. So it's a yin and a yang in understanding this masculine and feminine structuring of vibration in each of us.
Okay. Well, very well said. Folks, we're speaking with Jim Self. He is the co-author of A Course in Mastering Alchemy, Tools to Shift, Transform, and Ascend. You can get it from his website, and that's masteringalchemy.com. You can get it from Amazon, wherever, Barnes & Noble's, wherever you receive your book information. And again, I just want to share so deeply because I've worked with this type of work for many years. It does work. If you're looking to change your life, if you're looking to shift, this work will work for you. But the caveat is you have to do the work. It's not like buying the book and holding it and voila, all of a sudden everything changes. Trust me, I tried it. It doesn't work that way. You have to do the work. So if you want to gift yourself with something for the end of 2018, to have a new beginning in 2019, so to speak, get the book, do the work, and watch your miracles happen, because they will. Now, Jim, in the book, you work with many different types of energies. Well, one type that really caught my attention was working with the chakras, but it's just not the chakras in the third dimension that we're in. It's chakras in the fifth dimension. So I'd like to give an overview of what that's about to the audience.
Sure. So in my reality, it's amazing that the chakras even we do as well as we do with the chakra structure we have. The chakras, as I have watched them for years and played with them, are broken, fragmented, and dysfunctional. And one of the pieces is, in general accepted definition of chakra, is a kind of a concave, circular structure that faces outward, forward. Mm-hmm. That's correct in its dysfunctional capacity, the best we've been able to do for so long. But okay. When you begin to step into this fifth dimensional space, you start to realign these chakras. They are, they begin to function differently. For example, there's three triads, triad meaning three, mm-hmm. and there's three components in each one of these three triads, just coincidentally. So you begin to reconfigure the functionality of the first triad, the fourth chakra, the fifth chakra, and the thymus center. And the thymus center is not the gland. It mm-hmm. is an energetic center that's in the etheric body. Let me make that simple. Most people, when you go to sleep, they call it the astral body. You leave in, but mm-hmm. that etheric body is a better definition of astral body. It's the blueprint of the physical body. It is connected to the physical body by the acupuncture points, mm-hmm. and it's the location of all the chakras, whereas in the physical body there's glands, but there's no chakras. The chakras are in the etheric body. So this thymus center, fourth chakra, fifth chakra begins to act as a unit of functionality. In the head, there's the sixth chakra, the pineal center, and the medulla oblongata, a portion of the brain, that all begin to function as a unit. And then above the head is the seventh chakra, eighth chakra, and something that's known as the soul star, where that connection of the higher self and the soul and you engage. Mm-hmm. They begin to function and open up the unified field of consciousness in a way that a lot of different concepts and considerations and way of putting thoughts and feelings together to create a different point of reference for an individual begin to happen. The lower three chakras, as the upper ones begin to be much more engaged, there's a point in the Mastering Alchemy course where Archangel Michael and Kathumi and Raphael step in and recreate with you the lower three chakras. And those mm-hmm. are spherical balls of light that begin to be very much integrated into a ability of oneness. And three lower chakras are all about the physicalness that we live. Mm-hmm. And when they begin to function as a unit, you begin to find that in walking in our normal walking around space where we start to play with chakras and spiritual ability and psychic awareness. For 30, 40 years, all I've ever heard is the first chakra is about the survival of the body. That's how it's been defined. But in fact, it's not. It's about the well-being of the body. There is a little sliver in the first chakra that says if you walk up to the edge of the cliff, the body and the first chakra are going to light up and say, are you sure about this? This isn't a great idea, I don't think. The body starts to talk to you. Survival. But that's just a sliver. If you begin to recognize that the first chakra is about well-being, you begin to have a whole different perspective on how to start to structure the physicalness, not from safety and fitting in, but from this place of enjoying and engaging life on your terms. The second chakra, to a great extent, is, let me define it this way. When the first chakra is defined as well as survival, there's two other components to this. The rational mind lives in the first chakra. It doesn't live in your head.
Okay.
There is also the ego that is very wounded, and it lives in the first chakra also. And so you have a wounded ego. You have a rational mind that's trying to keep you safe and have you fit in based on what it perceives the world's all about. And there's the first chakra is defined in survival. If that's the launching place to consciousness in a physical body, what do you think the physical body believes is its terrain and its nature of engagement? It's constantly in defense and defining what's behind the door that might bite me in the butt. But when you start to play where we play in Mastering Alchemy, and you start to create these upper three triads into a functionality, one of the things that occurs is you and the higher self and the soul begin to heal the ego. And the ego is absolutely essential. It would be like cutting off both your legs to get rid of the ego. The ego is a tremendous teacher. It is very important to who you are as you grow into your spiritual space. But as the ego begins to be healed, as you begin to think from the heart rather than the rational mind, and the first chakra begins to be conscious of well-being, respect, dignity, appreciation, that thought process moves up into the second chakra, which is all about creative expression. And as the second chakra begins to have creative expression available in well-being, it moves into the third chakra, which is a huge propulsion of creative energy exploding into presence, into a physicalness. It's tempered by the fourth chakra and the first triad in the love and the creation. And so all of a sudden this flow of creating in present time in well-being begins to be such that you can begin to expect to hold out your hand and the apple begins to appear. You're not building your life on doubt and resistance and what happens if it all falls apart. You begin to get into that place of saying, this is what I would like to do. And you hold your attention on it. And much of the noise in the third dimensional game of politics and money and greed and domination, they don't play in that awareness of this is what I'm all about. And you start to find in present time, literally, you're going to hold out your hand and that apple is going to appear.
Ooh. Love it. Absolutely love it. So again, folks, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to move forward in your life and your spiritual path, gain some information that you can decide to use or not use, but to make your life better. Everybody's saying they want a better life. Here's an opportunity to create a better life. Now, Jim, in your book, you have a chapter, I think it's 16 or 17, called Thought Strings, and within, and that's a whole process when it's in itself, folks, that we're not going to go through here. But you write a story in that chapter about a woman who had a boyfriend, had a miscarriage. She and the boyfriend split, and then the boyfriend was coming back to talk to her. Do you remember that off the top of your head? And if so, could you share it?
Tell me where you want that to go, and let me see if I can.
Well, she the boyfriend left after she had a miscarriage, and she was able to meet with him a little bit later on and not have the heavy, heartbreaking emotions that she had experienced previously. She was able to release the fear of meeting with him. She was able to have her own healing around the situation without pointing fingers outward.
Yeah. So what happens is a circumstance occurs to you, and we make a lot of decisions, and we basically say, this is because of, and there it is again, this is how my life has been in my past, and it's coming back the same way, and or it's always my fault, or it's I'm guilty because. And when you start to play in the game of understanding what's going on, what happens is we have a sense of ourselves. We define ourselves as insecure. We define ourselves as something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And we have a set of words that we use. We maybe get embarrassed at a point in time, and we make a decision that says, oh, I can never say things. I can't communicate because I'm going to embarrass myself. I'm getting back to your particular part of the story. And so, but when you start to come into present time, and you start to recognize that a lot of how I hold myself in my belief system about who I am and what I am and how I move around today, in real terms, most of that is out of present time. Mm-hmm. I was embarrassed when I told the joke when I was in high school and everybody laughed at me instead of with me, and so I'll never tell another joke, I said. And so it caused me to become introverted and non-communicative. But in real terms, you find that you, in fact, are communicative, and you do tell jokes possibly, but you still carry around this guilt or this baggage or this embarrassment. And so in Mastering Alchemy, when you start to take a look at what are the words that I hold myself hostage to, and you start to look at and say, where did that come from? You begin to get these strings of both words and thoughts that take you back to memories or experiences. And quite often, you're going to be able to dismantle each one of those words and thoughts because they're simply not in present time. There's a set of tools to begin to do that. In the case of that story, that woman was filled with guilt, and she always felt lesser than, and it was always her fault. And so here she has a miscarriage, and she goes right into that dynamic. And because she got very pathetic in that dynamic, the guy left her. And so she figured out all of this was really not about her at all. It was about a mother that was extremely weak and blaming all the time. It was about a father that just simply never said anything nice about her at all. And as she basically went through this body of work, and she realized none of that was about her. Mm-hmm. She got to the place where she was able to deal with the boyfriend, and also then found out and realized that the boyfriend was just like the mother and the father. And so in her experience, as uncomfortable as it was, her ability to begin to recognize herself and recognize the nature of others that she's carried around, and then use the tools in Mastering Alchemy to eliminate all of that, which happens in ease. It doesn't have to go through the emotional body with all the tears. Mm-hmm. Her ability to choose differently became very empowering.
Yeah. Well, it's a very strong story. I mean, you've got many stories throughout the book, but that one seemed to really catch my attention because of the pain that the woman went through and then coming to the self-realization and then moving forward. So Excuse me. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Now, before I let you go, I do want to talk about what you're offering to the world, what you're offering to people who are listening to this show and everybody that they decide to share this show with as far as your programs. Now, you have basically, what, 4 or 5 level programs where you, number one is the basics, getting started, tools, level 1, level 2, level 3. Could you give us a quick overview of each, or at least the first two or three?
Sure, sure. Yeah. So the first place people want to begin to go is go to the website and go into the library, and there is a tremendous amount of free information. And we do a free webinar every month, and we provide a lot of blogs and different things. These are all substantive, but the piece of these webinars are do this, what happened. So they're not me talking and you listening. It's go into this kind of trance and do the work right along with this. Very simple. Okay. But this is how you begin to shift from a sense of feelings or emotions into a different way of changing the vibrations of the body. So there's those in the library. The level 1 is really inexpensive. I think we sell it for $75. It's about 14, 15 hours of me on video talking to you and saying, here's tools. Do this. This is how it works. Here, close your eyes and sit in this energy and change the vibrations. There's about 4 or 5 seminars, hour and a half seminars, webinars that also go along with that. Mm-hmm. So that gives you a substantive sense of, are you interested in really changing how you perceive the world from not good enough to a place of strength? And then the level 2 body work begins to be very engaged in how do you dismantle the emotional structures that we carry around that we hold ourselves hostage with, and how do you begin to redefine the chakras as we touched on, open up the 8th chakra, begin to engage with different energetics as well as all of these archangelics and ascended masters. And that's about once a week for 9 months. So you just aren't the same person at the end of the body of work.
Okay. Well, folks, if you do go out and purchase the book, A Course in Mastering Alchemy, Tools to Shift, Transform, and Ascend, I think that basically covers the first... what, 2 levels? Okay.
And then it goes on. And then the next part is really how do you step into these higher levels of consciousness and really build that living light body, which is a whole different experience all by itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to have you come back and talk about expressly about the living light body and how people... Great, how people can achieve that. Well, our time is up. I so appreciate you being with me today and sharing all of this information. Folks, truly, if you're looking to make a change, and if you've been listening to me for a while, you know I don't say this about everybody that I interview, okay? First of all, the book is a keeper, number one. Second of all, the information does work. You have to put in the work to do it, but it does work. And some days, you know, you might only put in 5 minutes, but that's better than 0 minutes. Okay, and other days you might put in a half hour. That's great. Allow yourself to grow and to receive information, and then you can decide to either keep it or discard it. It's up to you. But I know that you will keep it because you will see a profound shift in your life. So if you're looking for something different than what you're going through right now, this is a program that will work for you. So to Jim and to the guest, the audience, I do appreciate you being with me today. The divine in me honors the divine in you. Now, if you're looking to live a more balanced life and you want a little help along the way, call me for an intuitive consultation. They're offered a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make that call, 888-240-6057. And please remember that the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.